superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And there it is. Quarterback draw. Touchdown, Miami.
They love playing with him.
Yes, they do. Mobbing him in the end zone.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You know, for all the ladies out there, I'm taken. I'm sorry. And for my wife, get the kids to bed. It's getting late.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guest, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Coming up, authors of the new book, God Level Knowledge Darts, Jesus and Miro, plus Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, it's hour two. Hey, my name's Rich. I'm taking off my glasses so I can actually see the camera. You know, I told you I was I got new lenses, right? I got stronger lenses.
Oh, okay.
So I could read better, like so I could go here and go, oh.
Yeah, because you're far.
Boy, all the phone lines are lit. Yeah, you know?
You're farsighted.
I don't know what does that mean. All I know
it means
is
that you can see far without your glasses, but you can't see close.
I always got confused with that.
I always used to be able to see anything everywhere.
Rich, I can't read the phone here now. I'm done. Like, but, I can't see anything.
You know what? So why aren't you wearing glasses?
I don't need them for the drops and stuff up front. Wow. That's my excuse. I can come up with that excuse. I'm blind.
Did my sound guy, pardon me, my audio executive
I was just going to say, correct that.
Just here. Say that he has trouble seeing what's in front of him?
No, I said very close. This close is when I lose it, like right here. I'm not looking at
it. No, but like.
What if I go like that? Yes.
Okay.
Mike, as your attorney, just stop talking.
Okay.
As your attorney. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, Chris.
Jesus and Mero are going to join us. Very, very talented, funny guys. We've got a late night show twice a week on Showtime. They've got a new book coming out. They've got a podcast. They've got followers and fans everywhere. They're from the Bronx. So I do bring up the fact that I'm from an outer borough like them, and do they feel like Staten Island is part of New York City? I asked this. The Zoom took place on Wednesday.
I cannot wait. Can't wait. For this.
You believe they will back your play?
I do.
And I got to tell you, Brockman saying that he backs that his play, that Staten Island is not really part of New York City, even though it's one of the five boroughs. He's trolling on me, and he also has no knowledge of the area. Zero.
No, I mean,
I would say that's not true.
I don't know. I mean, you're from, like, what? You're from New England and you've had pizza in New York. Like, what are you talking about? You don't know the knowledge of the area.
My dad lived on Staten Island for like 6 months.
There you go.
But did you ever live on Staten Island?
No. He lived there. He went to work at the station there for 6 months.
There's a home port there.
So, yeah.
So, for the Coast Guard is where he lived? Yeah, there's a significant.
Yeah.
Staten Island military presence because of that. Okay. Yeah. All right. No, so
I've visited.
So your dad lived there for half a year.
I've been on the ferry. Like, my point is this, and I'll re-say this for everyone. If someone from Middle America or the West Coast says, oh, man, I'm so excited. We're finally taking a trip to New York City.
I know where he's going.
And you and they get sent to Staten Island because, in your words, Staten Island is part of New York City.
Yes.
They're going to demand a refund immediately.
I think I'll go to Staten Island.
I will say this as somebody who grew up in Staten Island. It is my hometown, okay? I was born in Brooklyn, raised in Staten Island, so I can never be considered a native Staten Islander. All right? 6 months old, my parents moved when the Verrazano Bridge, which connects Brooklyn to the only bridge that connects from Staten Island to another part of New York City. It goes to Brooklyn. For those who watched the beginning of the New York City Marathon, that's that bridge. For those who watch Saturday Night Fever, that's the bridge where they do sorts of crazy stuff hanging off the side, all of that business. Okay. As somebody who also worked for the Staten Island Advance, the hometown newspaper, the word is really advanced, but we in Staten Island put the accent on the first syllable, Advance. I would say yes. I would not send anybody from Middle America, if they're going to New York City, that you have to go to Staten Island. You would say you should go on the ferry. You should go on the ferry because it goes right by the Statue of Liberty. And when it goes back to Manhattan, you see the beautiful lower Manhattan. You used to be able to see, may the rest its soul, the World Trade Center and everything. Yep. But now you see the Freedom Tower. It is beautiful. I would say maybe walk around Staten Island, get off.
Bay Street's nice. By the way,
you just went higher register.
Mike, so higher register on that.
But I would say also, it's part of New York City. It's part of New York City. There's a city of New York. There are many parks in New York. There are many spots in New York that aren't filled with skyscrapers. Staten Island is one of them. Okay? So there's many great things to see in Staten Island. There's many different Revolutionary War monuments and places to go in Staten Island. There's a beautiful cultural center.
I'm sure it's beautiful.
But it's part of New York. And you, being from Jersey, know that.
Yeah, but you're more Staten Islanders were more Jersey than they were New York, to me.
Well, there's three bridges that attach Staten Island to New Jersey. At any rate, the fact that you guys think that Desus and Mara will back your play, stay tuned.
Uh-oh.
Stay tuned.
Uh-oh, Mike. Oh,
we may have...
Stay tuned. All I'm saying.
We may have to abandon the hill, Brockman. Right.
Kurt Warner was on in hour number one. Aaron Rodgers is going to join us soon. And Kurt basically said what I said. Don't count out Drew Brees just yet. He's a little off. That's it. He doesn't see a guy with lacking arm strength or anything like that. He sees a guy that took what he was given and had a bad off night. And if you have a bad off night after being one and done in the playoffs the previous year and you've turned 40, everybody's waiting, as we all know, for that falling off the cliff moment where he loses it and no longer has it, and it happens during the middle of a playing season in which the team has all these Super Bowl aspirations and Breeze's career is going to end, with everybody saying he should have gone to NBC Studios and not come back. He stayed 1 year too long. We're all wondering if that's the narrative playing out right now. Many people think it's already set in stone based on what they have seen. I say pump the brakes. So did my Hall of Fame friend from NFL Game Day Morning. He said Wentz, on the other hand, has been having problems for years. Did that surprise you, too, that he says, hey, I've been seeing this for years about his footwork and his mechanics and how he has enough talent to get through it, but now when he can't make the layups or the throws that he needs to make to sort of build momentum or drives or finish off drives and have the confidence to do that, that the lack of mechanics is the issue, and he's now regressing in that regard, then he's concerned.
I think it's fair.
This is what he said about that.
I think it's fair. And if they lose to Cincinnati this week, like you've been saying, it's just – full on.
0-3?
Full on.
Whoa. So, there's that. Our poll question, Chris, ask it right here on the Rich Eisen
Show. All right, it's one-hit wonder day, guys, for music. And it got me thinking about NFL. Who's the greatest football one-hit wonder? David Tyree, Larry Brown, Timmy Smith, Peyton Hillis. Now, Peyton Hillis leads the way. 48%, 36% for Tyree, 9% for Timmy Smith. The dude rushed for 200 yards in the Super Bowl. Come on. Still a record. And Larry Brown, 6%.
You're going to love this one. Jordan in Watertown, Mass. What's up, Jordan? Oh, Jared, pardon. What's up, Jared? I even had my glasses on. You there, Jared?
I got you. I got a good one right now for you guys. What about Mr. Jonas Gray? 37 carries, 200 yards, 4 touchdowns, missed the next practice, never saw another snap.
That's,
I said that before the
you
show.
You said it before the show. The problem is that we went Super Bowl for the other guys.
Right, right, right.
Jonas Gray had that, those numbers on a Sunday night against the Colts, too, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And then he missed the practice because it snowed.
It was snowing.
And Bill's like, you're done. Out. threw him out like the shirt that he refuses to throw out. Thanks for the call, Jared. It's what you said before the
show.
Yeah,
Jonas Gray is an amazing one.
What's your one-hit wonder for music?
I'm actually...
If you had to name the one-hit wonder for music, would it be... Who sang Come On, Eileen?
See, I say Dexy's
Midnight Runners,
I like,
right?
Safety Dance. There's a couple that I like. And
Safety Dance was Devo, right?
No. Men Without Hats.
Men Without Hats, right, okay.
I have so many from...
Nina? 99 Luftballons.
Video was great.
I just gave you the German version.
It's a good
version.
One. It's a good
Der
one.
Der Kommissar, another great one.
Well, most lists have Aha, Take On Me as number one.
Or Macarena.
But Aha, you can't say Take On Me because they also sang the theme to... Don't you forget about
that's
me?
Simple Minds.
Simple Minds. I'm not good at this.
You're in my wheelhouse now.
It has to be Psy Gangnam Style. That was the most watched video of all time, wasn't
Macarena
it?
Macarena and that would be my
two. That was first to a billion views on YouTube.
Yeah, Macarena like and Gangnam Style. I remember. I'm with TJ.
The Macarena.
It was huge.
The Yankees had a Macarena night.
Night, yeah.
Where Cheetah Rivera, dancer and Broadway star, Cheetah Rivera stood on the top of the Yankees dugout.
Wow.
And led the entire Yankee Stadium crowd in the Macarena. Now, then, also, speaking of one-hit wonders and baseball, Yankees-Mets World Series. We've been waiting for that our whole lives, right? You've been waiting for that your whole life, right? The Subway Series, the famed Subway Series was finally happening.
Yep.
And I think it was Game 3. I think it was the first
game that for Fox.
In Shea Stadium. Okay? 2 games after Clemens threw the broken bat at Piazza, claiming that he thought it was the ball. Which, by the way, is one of the most bizarre explanations ever. So you were throwing a ball at him then, huh?
Should have been tossed out of baseball.
If he thought it was the ball, was it in play in your mind? Or was it out of play?
Were you at that game?
Of course. Was I at the game?
Both. I was there.
Have you never heard this story? Was that that game?
No, probably. I don't recall. I'm at the game.
I'm damn straight. I'm at the game, and I'm in the left field setup that they had for the media because there's so many media requests and old Yankee Stadium could fit everyone in the press box. Yeah, the auxiliary press boxes. They had an extra one. They normally would put them in the upper deck of the old Yankee Stadium. I was sitting in the left field one, about 40 rows back from the foul pole. Sitting next to Peter Gammons.
Okay. Not getting a word in.
Sitting next to Peter Gammons. And I stood there and I watched the actor who played the governor from Benson strolling through the stands. His name was James Noble. As you know, I'm afflicted by pop culture that I never, ever...
No. Yeah, you go right in.
James Noble.
Correct. I remember things that I shouldn't, which is helpful sometimes, and then really weird other times. And this is the really weird moment when I turn to Peter Gammons in the middle of the first or second inning of Game 1 of the 2000 World Series Yankees-Mets in Yankee Stadium.
He was an airplane, too.
And I turn to him, and I'm like... Peter, is that the guy who played the governor from, do you know Benson, the show Benson?
Fantastic.
And he looked at me like, what the hell is the matter with you?
You're in the game two of the World Series.
So I was writing a column for ESPN, the magazine at the time.
Okay.
And I thought this might be a good column to write. Here I am at Yankee Stadium. My lifetime dream of Yankees Mets is happening, but I had to get up to meet the guy who played the governor from the TV show Benson. And what's he doing there? And just figured that this might be worthy of it. So I followed him.
Jeez.
Oh, this gets better.
Oh, this gets.
I followed him. I followed him all the way to behind home plate. That's a long way.
Oh, yeah.
From where I stood. I followed him. And then there was a young lady with him who said that she was his daughter. She saw my credential. She goes, can you help us? And I'm like, how may I be of service to the governor? You are the actor who played the governor in Benson, right? Confirmed. Yes, I am. How can I help you? She said, my boyfriend called me up and said Robert Guillaume, who played Benson,
yes,
is sitting behind home plate. My dad has not seen him in years. Can you help us get down there? They're not letting us in without a credential.
Wow.
So now suddenly, not only am I following the governor from Benson, but now I'm being asked to create the reunion of the two stars from this television show.
I don't think I've ever
while the Yankees really. And Mets are beginning to play the first Subway Series that I've been waiting my whole life to witness, as I'm also supposed to be covering it for his ESPN.
Right.
But I make this sort of construct in my head that this is okay because I'm working this for ESPN, the magazine.
Are you going to work
I'm
this
on the
in
clock.
The, yeah.
I'm on the clock. And what can I do to make this work?
This is incredible.
I never heard this before.
Never.
Yeah, I've never heard this. Well,
I wrote a whole column about it. I wrote about this. So, sure enough, they're not letting them down there, but they let me down there. And I go down and I say, turn around, and somebody goes, hey, SportsCenter guy. Thankfully, he didn't tell me if I wash my hands yeah. and go hey, to the can. That was another World Series from the ESPN commercial. But I look around, and I'm like, I don't see Robert Guillaume. But I do see Frank Robinson.
Of course.
And I go back to them, and I'm like, Robert Guillaume's not down there, because I start going in my head. I'm like, is he on like a Fox show? Like, why would he have that?
Yeah, because they used to put all the Fox people behind.
And I say to her, I'm like, could your boyfriend have mistaken Frank Robinson for Robert Guillaume? She grabs her cell phone, calls up her boyfriend, and she goes, do you know that's Frank Robinson behind home plate? Oh, you're an idiot. And hung the phone up. As I'm walking back to my place at left field, I hear all holy hell break loose. That was when Clemens threw the bat at Mike Piazza.
That was nuts.
He didn't see it.
Not live.
Well, wow. You were doing the Lord's work.
I get back and I say to Peter, I'm like, you'll never guess what I just went through. And he looked at me again like, what the hell's the matter with you?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So was I there?
Yeah.
I was there. So was the governor from Benson. And so is Frank Robinson, but not Robert Guillaume. And I had just breaking the news to this poor, sweet, older gentleman. Like, I'm sorry, I can't help you, governor, but I'm a big fan.
Big fan.
I'd be telling that story today.
Very funny.
Let's go to Chris in Cincinnati. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Rich. First time, long time. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Want to give a shout out, Del Tufo, audio exec.
Hey.
Condolences, man.
Thank you.
And Brockman, I am actually happy for you that the Patriots lost, so you didn't have to embarrass yourself and dress like Cam again on Monday.
Stay tuned this Monday, my
man. Stay tuned this Monday. Wait till you see the. Have you upgraded? Have you gotten a new hat?
Or Sarah found a new box of hats.
Okay,
and I'm going to go do some shopping this weekend to kind of spruce up the wardrobe.
Before we finish up our call with Chris here, will you do Cam a favor and just like Cam would never be caught dead wearing the stuff that you're wearing?
Yeah, but Cam's outfits are 5 to 10 G's. Yeah,
I know that.
You know what I mean?
Saying.
So like. Unless
you get something that's similar. I mean, like, I'm not saying
you cannot find a yellow coat like that. I'm not the mask.
Chris is using artistic interpretation.
By the way, it's not a
wardrobe.
Coat. That's a double-breasted jacket that's very rakishly buttoned.
That hat is amazing.
All right, Chris, what do you have over
doing
there?
Doing my best.
What do you got?
So despite being from living in Cincinnati now, I am from Buffalo, so as much appreciation as I have for TJ, I think he needs a better sports team in terms of football. What I will say, though, do you believe that the criticism towards Josh Allen at this point, given how you've spoken about him so far, is founded? Like last week, you had Todd McShay on, and when you asked about the quarterbacks from his class, he pretty much scoffed at the idea of Allen being number one. Now, like,
well, I mean, he scoffed Allen being number one because Lamar Jackson's in there. I mean, that's why. I mean, I love what Josh Allen is becoming, but Lamar Jackson is revolutionary so far. Even though he hasn't won a playoff game, we do need to see that. But what Josh Allen is doing right now is remarkable. Let's not forget. When he came out of college, the question was, oh, he's got a big arm, but he doesn't have the accuracy, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that. He's going to take some time to mold, and then all of a sudden, he looks like he's a very large handle for everybody to try and grasp. He is tough, and he is coming at you, and I just want to make sure he doesn't take any hits because he is the most valuable Bill. That's for damn sure, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Now, let me ask my second part. This weekend, them being in Buffalo, I know Rick from Florida yesterday
said
he's a good evaluator of bad talent. So,
all Jets fans are, as he said. All Jets fans are. Yes.
I would like to think Bills fans are as well.
Okay.
And let me tell you, Aaron Donald doesn't suck.
I agree.
According to Brian Burke's run stop win percentage, he is average when it comes to protecting the run.
Come on.
That is ESPN.
Well, I'll tell you what, and thank you for the call. They need to check out Kurt Warner's game-changing plays. Because I imagine if you take a look at the Rams, GCP, AD, has a lot with raising that number with his game-changing plays. And I need to take a look. Are, like, batted down passes game-changing plays? Or tackles for loss, game-changing plays?
I would imagine so.
I don't know if batted down passes could be, but a tackle for loss of more than 5 yards, right? Or more than, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Beware of those statistics.
You know, it's crazy. When you were saying how Kurt was showing you all of his trophies.
Yes.
Kurt Warner was stocking shelves at a Hy-Vee Cedar Falls. And it's like, to imagine what he's turn into, and yes. I was just thinking that when you were like, he was showing you the MVP award, yes. And I was like, the belief in himself that dude had to have at that moment to get to where he's at today.
And his wife is just as remarkable. His wife, Brenda's story, we had her on a podcast when she wrote her book.
We did.
You know?
Former Marine, right?
Oh, gosh, yes. And didn't her parents die in a tornado or something like that? I mean, her story is tragic, unbelievable. Yeah. The fact that these two people met.
Yeah. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
And just to put a postscript on the other story, too, and then we'll take a break and come back with Desus and Mero. A couple days later, after the World Series ended, the Yankees won that World Series in five as Bernie Williams clutched the series ending out in center field of Shea Stadium. And I was underneath Shea Stadium getting ready to go out there and do my job, seeing the cobwebs of the Ed Crane Pool era still hanging underneath the stands underneath there. So there would have, if there was going to be a game six or a game seven, I don't remember what, it was Halloween night and it poured. It would have been delayed because it was pouring in New York City. And I was at my buddy Ken Jowdy's bar on the Upper East Side, and he had a Halloween judging contest, and his best buddy, Roger Clemens, was coming in to judge the costumes. And this is where he eventually told me and my friends for the first time, hey, I thought it was the ball. So when he said that publicly, he told it privately. So this is what he's not just making it up publicly. It's just what he was telling us. Like, he was all just out of his mind about the competition, is what he said, and he thought it was the ball.
Competition.
Well, one of the guys who was dressed up in this jam-packed bar where we're all shoulder to shoulder, the costume this guy was dressed in was a number 31 Mets jersey with a wiffle ball bat cut in half, each part of the bat on either side of his torso as if it had pierced his entire body, and a baseball cut in half and half of the baseball
on his head
taped to the top of his head. I told this gent, do you know who is going to judge your costume later on? He said, no. Roger Clemens walked in the door. This guy turned as white as a ghost, as a sheet. And Clemens laughed his ass off and took multiple pictures with this guy.
I bet. Amazing.
What a time, man.
You should have been banned from baseball for that.
A time. We will take a break. When we come back, the hilarious combo from the Boogie Down Bronx and Showtime and their new book, God Level Knowledge Darts, Life Lessons from the Bronx. Desus and Mero when we come back. Shop local with Visa to help support your community, because where you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
NBC Sports on Peacock. Hey, everybody. We are sitting right in the middle of this day. As soon as we're done, we send you over to Brother from Another with Michael Holly and Michael Smith. And then, as you know, we're on after Dan Patrick and his stellar show every single day. And we're right there in the middle of the Florio burrito. Do I have to come up with a better name from that?
No, that's great. It's on the fantasy list, too. That's a very funny one.
Florio burrito? We're wrapped up in the Florio burrito.
We've already got a good list going for fantasy names.
What do we have?
We've got Big Pointy Sticks.
Okay.
Piped In Booze. The Cornhusker Hot Mic is good.
Okay, that's right.
Taco Falls Khakis.
That's a great one.
The Greeny Split Screen.
Greeny Split Screen.
And the Cacophony of Moans and Groans.
I love that.
Cacophony of Moans and Groans.
Yeah. The Aroma of Coming Back. There were a couple from Irv.
By the way, I renamed my fantasy team that in my poker league.
The Aroma of Coming Back.
Yeah. Where nobody wants Josh Allen.
That is.
Well, they say, I'll take him, but I'll give give you the running back I just picked up off the waiver wire we know you need.
Yeah,
I
mean, don't do that.
I'll give you the 3 Jets wide receivers.
I would say hold out. It's only week 3. Hold out. You'll get a good deal for Josh Allen.
All right.
If he wins this, I want the Rams, though.
All right, we'll see in a second.
I think the Rams win.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be a ton of fun right here on our show. And we're back with our radio audience here right now on our show here on Peacock. These guys are hilarious. They're from the Bronx. And wait till you hear what they have to say about my hometown in Staten Island, whether they think it's part of New York City. They are the stars of their own late night show on Showtime, and they've got a new book, Desus and Mero, Authors and Comedians, right here. Check it out.
And as promised, the combo that is taking over Showtime with their late night talk show, Desus and Mero, on Showtime Sundays and Thursdays at 11 p.m. And now the authors of God Level Knowledge Darts, Life Lessons from the Bronx. There they are right here, Desus Nice and the Kid Mero. How are you guys?
Hey, what's up, Rich?
How are you guys?
How's it going, man? We're good.
Chilling in the presence of a legend.
No. Yes. Right back.
Left the F bomb out.
You were kind enough to say it before I hit record with the F bomb in there. So I'll take it either way. You want to work blue or not? But this is apparently a family.
We out here doing the press tour, promoting the book, doing like
27 interviews today, but this is going to be our best one. So
okay. I appreciate you, you know, bringing your A-game to the Rich Eisen show here. Thanks very much. First things first.
Thank you.
Did you wear that shirt for me, or have you been wearing that throughout your entire day?
This right here?
Yes.
I'm wearing this Staten Island Pizza Rat shirt just for you because it would have been lost on any other show. If we, you know, like you want the host to see the shirt and appreciate it, and I know you're a fan.
So. Well, you know what? I'm born in Brooklyn, but raised mm-hmm. in Staten Island. I moved there exactly. when I was 6 months old. Mm-hmm. And so I guess this has been something on my show that has been brought up quite a bit by the guys on it just to try and troll me, I think. That they say that Staten Island is not really a borough of New York City.
All you gotta say
is meet me on Victory Boulevard and we'll settle it. Meet me on Victory Boulevard, pal. All right.
There you go. Put some respect on the ferry. Put some respect on the Verrazano Bridge, okay?
Right. That's right.
It is a borough.
It is a borough.
How dare you disrespect Shaolin? Like, come on. Even before Wu-Tang.
I had my guy, Chris, who's from New England. I made sure, because he's constantly giving me crap for it, I made sure he mentioned it when we had Method Man in studio. I'm like, you must say. And it did not go well.
I'm sure it wouldn't. Because everyone I know from Staten Island has a chip on their shoulder because people trying to erase them from New York history forever. All right. Even though there's a fair chance because it gets a little nautical with using a boat to get around that part, the rest of us New Yorkers are like, what's going on? But other than that, you guys are a borough. OK,
all you need is a bridge from like the New York side. I'm in Jersey now. So like you're a borough. You're good.
We got one from Brooklyn and the other three from New Jersey. We got that. And even though we take a lot of everybody's figurative crap, but literally took everybody's garbage for 30 years, literally.
Give it up for Fresh Kills Landfill. All right. A New York institution.
Fresh Kills Landfill.
They took all your when Mayor Koch said to stop dumping on the Bronx, all our garbage went to Fresh Kills. Put some respect on that legend. Fresh Kills was the original Madison Square Garden.
Yes, I agree, especially since the current one is the resident of the dumpster fire of the New York.
Let's speak on it.
Or we could talk about that right now. But yeah, I love that. Right. Fresh Kills Landfill. By the way, the fact that you said Fresh Kills Landfill like it was one of those chants from the bleachers in Yankee Stadium is next level fantastic. That
if you've ever been to the old Yankee Stadium, there's a good chance at some point in time they did chant Fresh Kills Landfill. Probably during the Red Sox game.
It is possible that in the early 80s or the early 70s that a landfill was starting at like third base for the Yankees.
Yes. It was the relief pitcher that they drove out to the mound in the little pinstripe mobile.
Yes, in the pinstripe sedan.
Yes. just tearing up the field because the relief pitcher is too important to walk out there. I love it. Let's bring that back.
It's that Steinbrenner swag, bro. It permeates the franchise. You know what I'm saying?
Let's put pinstripes on like a Chrysler.
Yes.
And make sure that the fat ass coming in the sixth inning who gives up five runs doesn't have to run. He's not tuckered out by the time
exactly
up there. You know,
we're gonna update it and they're gonna come out in a Tesla truck. It's gonna be great. It's fantastic. Oh, Elon Musk, get on it.
Kids today do not know about the bullpen card. That is right.
They don't know.
Yeah, they don't know anything about it.
They would. The carbon footprint of it, like, just it's just so egregious. It's
not electric.
It's so wasteful.
This is great, man. Jesus and Mero here on the Rich Eisen show. This is fantastic. All right, so let's get into the Knicks. Because I see, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to put on my glasses here. It looks like, Mero, that you are wearing a Knicks lid.
But it's, you know, it's all black.
We're in mourning. Paying proper respect for our hopes and dreams of a championship ruined yet again.
So it's only right. You know what I mean? All right. Black.
This is perfect to bring it up with you guys. I didn't talk about it on the show yet this week. But the fact, I don't know if this is in fact a sign of the times or the fact that we're still not going to get out of any of the awful times that the Knicks are in, the fact that Charles Oakley got bounced off of Dancing with the Stars in front of Carole Baskin from the Tiger King this week.
Wow. Oh, wow. Dude.
Total like you can't win.
It is, but like, as a Knick fan, we're used to early exits. Let's keep it funky.
Like, yeah, like come on, like you know,
we're just happy. We were just happy to make the playoffs. Gonna be honest,
you know what I mean? Like he did his thing. You know, he danced a little salsa. You know, or I mean, what his interpretation of salsa? He did it.
His interpretation of salsa really looked like he was going for an offensive rebound. So maybe that's the reason.
It did look like he was trying to take the charge. Like, you're not supposed to set your feet and dance with guards.
Like, you're dancing with her. Don't set a pick against her. Like,
I'm like, bro, it's dancing. You can lift your pivot foot. It's a dancing competition. It's okay. It's like you're not going to get a traveling call.
I just saw that. I'm like, come on.
And you can't win. You can't win.
Oh, my God. So all right, give me some hope. Do you have any hope, or you're trying to
Listen,
you
know what? Listen, I'm going to give you some. I'm not going to give you hope. I'm going to give you the Knicks flavor hope, which is false hope. And I'm going to tell you that Joel Embiid and possibly Fred VanVleet will be the point guard and the center on the Knicks next year. But that's probably not going to happen because it's the Knicks.
Okay. But that's Knicks hope. That's the best Knicks hope because as a Knicks fan, you have nowhere to go but up. So you know what? You have to throw out logic. You have to throw out sense, reason, people having to want to play where they want to play. Like last year, you cannot tell me and Miro we were not getting not just KD, but also Zion. And also, who's the third person?
Kyrie.
Yeah.
Kyrie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're watching ESPN. They're like, there's absolutely no chance that trade's going to happen. And we're like, nope, not hearing it. Let me get ready to buy my KD Knicks jersey. Right, and we've done this so many times. And if we did it for LeBron.
If that was going to happen, Giannis would absolutely come. And we all know that that's never going to happen right now.
It's never going to happen.
So then, listen. What about you even brought it up. Now, if this is about loving basketball, and appreciating good basketball on behalf of New York City, Durant and Kyrie are in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Would either of you consider that? Would either of you
consider
becoming a Nets fan?
Rich, no. you're an ESPN OG. You know that is not allowed.
No, I know. I'm from New York City.
We can't do that.
But just because they used to play on Long Island and from New Jersey, but they're in Brooklyn now, and that's Durant, that's Kyrie. I mean, that's
I'll watch.
Okay. I'll watch, and you know what? I'll be happy for them. I will never, but I will never recognize them as New York's basketball team, and most New Yorkers won't. Maybe that will change with the next generation if the Knicks continue to just be a dumpster fire on 33rd Street. But you know what it is? We grew up with the Knicks, and being a team fan means you're there for the bad days. And sadly, we've had more bad days than good days. But then I look at Cubs fans, and I look at Pirates fans, and you have to see what they've been through. And eventually, every dog has his day, and one day the Knicks are going to be great. And when that day happens, I don't think the world is going to be ready for it because people are going to die at that parade, and I'm one of them.
Okay? I mean, you can talk about Cubs fans, but they didn't tell Bill Murray he had to go in just in the same entrance as the rest of the fans. You know what I mean? Like they didn't take Andre Dawson and drag his ass out of Madison Square Garden and let him rot in jail overnight. You know what I mean?
And when you look at it like that, what I need you to do is zoom the camera out. Zoom the camera out. Don't look at the real issues there. Like, no.
Okay.
No.
Madison Square Garden. Everyone wants to play here. Willis Reed played here. You know?
The Mecca of basketball.
Billy Joel plays here. Like, that's what you got to focus on.
No highlights in HD.
Okay. What other arena has a Sbarro's right across the street, huh?
All right. I should zoom the camera out. We zoom call that on my out. Show. Me going down the Dolan wormhole. I dislike that man so intensely that it's just a gravitational pull. I can't get out of it.
But listen, you can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it.
Like it's like you're, if you're a New Yorker, you're obligated to hate James Dolan and the mayor, no matter who the mayor is. And
The James Dolan situation was completely out of control when the fan told him to sell the team and he tried to fight the fan outside Madison Square Garden. At that point, there's no redemption. There's no going back.
He called him a drunk. He called that guy a drunk.
He did. Oh, God.
See, Rich, but at least I respect you guys. So many celebrities from New York won't even talk about it because they don't want to, you know, mess with their opportunity to go to the games or anything like
that. I feel like we blew that a long time ago.
And also,
we got to come out of pocket for those.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you pay for the ticket yourself, it's different.
Okay.
Because if you pay for the ticket, there's not you're not even on their radar that you're there. And then they have to know you are. And then if you want to throw me out even after I've paid for my own ticket, that's going to probably not end well for the organization. You know what I'm saying? Because then it's a thing like, do you really want two people who are seen as the face of the team? Like, we're always repping the Knicks. We're always talking about the Knicks. If we get banned, it's Phil Rizzuto and the Yankees all over again. You know what I'm saying?
Listen. It's to the point where like Bleacher Report literally mocked up an illustration of when Barrett got drafted. Right. They mocked up an illustration of us flanking RJ Barrett at a bodega. That's how synonymous we've become with the Knicks. So it's like, you know, we got to tell the truth.
That's why if you go to the Nets, you would have a lot of influence. You know what I'm saying?
We have a lot of influence, but
you'd have a lot influence, of influence. Yes. Yeah.
No, even worse. I've been to a Nets game and they treated me so well. And free food, free drinks, and it was like, anytime you want to come, you want to come. Yes. But then they put me on the Jumbotron, and then people was like, wow, traitor. I wasn't a traitor, didn't have any Nets gear on. But you know what? As a Knicks fan, I'm not used to happiness. It felt weird. It felt I was free food and drinks. The team is winning. People were happy. This is not how I'm used to watching basketball.
You ever taken a rescue dog, and then like you go to pet him, and they like, you know, they're like, hey, whoa, hey, I don't know what's going on here.
Yes.
That's kind of us, you know what I mean, with the Knicks. It's like, you know, if I go to a Nets game and I get that and I have similar experience as Jesus had, I'd be like, whoa, the shrimp cocktail's for me?
I felt so
to pass it back to somebody else?
I felt so lost in the third quarter because I keep looking at the scoreboard and I was like, when are you guys going to lose 30 by – when you guys just going to blow 30 points and lose this lead? I don't get
what's going on.
The fourth quarter is coming on. You're just going to keep a lead. This is
you guys are going to. What is this? Are you guys playing defense? You guys aren't putting six power forwards on the floor at the same time. What's wrong with you guys?
At the end of the game, the announcers were like, "The Nets win." I had to use Google Translate on my phone to figure out what that word meant.
Like, what is win? What is win? You know what? But shout out to the Knicks because the only thing that's giving me hope with the Knicks, though, is I'm in Jersey now and gambling is legal. And the Knicks, those spreads are outrageous. Yeah. Like the Knicks, it's like the Knicks is, you know, underdogs by 26 and a half points. I'm like, oh, that's a lock. And then they lose by 30, five and a half. It was by 40, you know, and then I'm screwed. That's the mantra in this house. Even to my kids, my oldest son is 9 years old and he knows. If the Knicks cover, they won. In our hearts.
And also, in all seriousness, being a Knicks fan, it's about the journey, not the destination.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, and that's why I'm saying maybe your journey should go through Brooklyn. Look, your book. This has been phenomenal. You guys have to do like a regular Zoom.
Let's tell me about
your book before, because I know you guys have other places to go right now. God Level Knowledge Darts, Life Lessons
from the Bronx. It's just life advice from our living in the Bronx, stories, experiences. Meryl talks about relationships. I talk about the heartbreak of 2004, watching the Yankees lose to the Red Sox. Talk about it very vividly.
Speaking of the Knicks. I talk about LJ's 4-point play in there. You know what I mean? Which is like literally like that was what
the whole garden just went crazy. That shot.
Man.
I talk about Kobe's 61-point game. I was there for that, and then I was there when Melo broke it with the 62-point game. Even though Kemba Walker wasn't playing, you know, it was a Tuesday night, but we'll still take it. Listen, lots of good experiences. You'll read it. You'll feel like you're in the Bronx, and you'll be like, "Wow, those two guys. I'm glad they're no longer those people. They've grown up. I should follow their example."
Yes.
That's phenomenal.
It's a choose your own adventure book.
Well, congrats on all your success, man. Your show was just renewed for a third season. You had your book. And I mean, again, and then your Bodega Boys podcast available wherever all the podcasts are. Mm-hmm. If there's any time, you know, I could return the favor to you and anything that you got going on, I'd love to do that. You know,
oh, definitely.
You can return the favor right now.
Okay. How am I
telling
doing that?
Me? Okay. Should I trade?
It's a fantasy football question that you're.
Yes, it is.
You're
it
going
is.
Through your Rich. Phone right now. Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's
what can
it's
I do for you, Meryl? What
okay,
can I do?
I have a proposed trade. Okay. All right. Okay.
It's been proposed to you, or you're proposing it?
It's been proposed to me.
Okay.
Okay. And it is for me to give up Miles Sanders.
Okay.
Eagles, you know.
Give up Miles.
Give up Miles and get Amari Cooper in return and a random wide receiver who I've never heard of.
So two wide receivers. Do you know the name of the random wide receiver that you've never heard of?
Oh, man.
No, you do not. Okay.
I don't.
No, I would stick tight with Miles Sanders. You tell them to pound sand, unless you need receivers. Do you need wide receivers in the
world? I don't. I mean, I got one guy hurt. Mike Evans is doing all okay. You know.
Okay. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. What's the name of your fantasy team?
Barlos Zantana.
Barlos Zantana, like after Kevin Barlow, the running back, or is that what?
No, after Carlos Zantana, yes, one of the AKAs from the Bodega Boys.
Oh, okay.
The AKAs, yeah.
It's a play on Xanax, Xanax like, bars.
Okay, very good. Okay, no, I think Barlos Zantana should stay put. Do not tell whoever to go. Sand. There you
that's
go.
Tito, you heard it here first.
There you go.
That's a rich lock right there.
Any other advice or whatever, I'm available for you guys. Congrats again. Everyone should get your book where all books are sold. Life Lessons from the Bronx. God Level Knowledge Darts, Life Lessons from the Bronx. And, of course, your show on Sundays and Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern on Showtime and Bodega Boys podcast, available wherever. Thanks for coming on, guys. It's been a blast.
Rich, thanks for having us on.
Let's do it again. Let's do it for like 2 hours next time.
I would love
definitely
it.
Do it again.
That would be a blast.
Shout out to Wu-Tang.
That's
Wu-Tang
it.
And Shaolin Tang. And Staten Island.
Tang. Hey, pal, you got a problem with Shaolin? Meet me on Victory Boulevard. I'll take my shirt off. We'll fight.
There you go.
You're like I'm back in high school.
Hey,
don't talk about my banana sauce like that.
Jesus and Mero right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
How funny are those guys?
I mean,
that was great.
I laughed so hard.
They are.
In that interview. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, they came
I'll take my shirt off and fight you.
I mean,
it's pretty funny.
Victory
man.
Boulevard.
Okay, let's take a break. I believe our quadcast family is now complete. NBCSN has joined the broadcast. Hello. And by the way, when we come back, there is some yet more injury news in regards to the San Francisco 49ers. I want to hit that before, you know, your news segment at the top of our third hour that includes Aaron Rodgers. That's how we're rolling right now here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH. Call us, why don't you? Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. GEICO.com. Noon Eastern time every single day right here on the Rich Eisen Show, NBC Sports on Peacock. And we're thrilled to be here. Our NBCSN audience rejoining us shortly. The Staten Island Pizza Rats is, I think, that shirt yes. that Jesus was wearing was the name of the Staten Island Yankees affiliate on that they
do like a one-game promo.
Yeah, they made a promo. Like, what are they going to change it to?
They sent me the box with the hat.
And they won, like, the fans voted calling them the Pizza Rats. Pizza Rats,
they yeah. should have just kept that name.
It's a good name.
I don't know if the Yankees would be into that sort of thing.
Yeah, but it's, that's like lower A ball, right? Who cares?
You know what here's how Cooper knows the Yankees organization. This is how my 9-year-old knows the Yankees organization. He said to me the other day, Dad, if the Yankees had cardboard cutouts of fans, which Yankee Stadium does not have.
No, they won't.
He said that the Yankees would not allow fans with facial hair to have their cardboard cutouts. Literally said that to me. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our quadcast, NBCSN. That's right. Let's catch everyone up to speed. Our poll question here for the NBCSN audience. It's one hit wonder day in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Who knew? Yeah. Who knew? The all-time one hit wonder in the history of the NFL. We came up with four.
We threw four out there. David okay. Tyree, Larry Brown, Timmy Smith all did theirs in the Super Bowl. Kind of a one-game thing. Peyton Hillis, we kind of threw on there for a whole season.
Right.
He's leading the way right now, 48%.
He crushed it in the 2011 season to the point where he was on the Madden cover of 2012 cover. And then poof, disappeared. Like Kaiser Soze, he was gone.
David Tyree, 36%. Timmy Smith, 10%. 6% Larry Brown.
Larry Brown. What's going on? I thought Cowboys win all polls. Larry Brown's not a one-hit wonder? I mean,
that was.
He got paid after that, too.
I don't understand how people are voting on this poll. These guys were Super Bowl champs. They got rings, right? Yeah. And we're voting for Peyton Hillis, the Great White Buffalo, who I did have on the fantasy team and helped me win that year. But, like, this guy's got rings. Like, what?
Timmy Smith ran for 204 yards in the Super Bowl. It's still the record.
Macarena's got a Grammy. That doesn't mean anything. Where are those guys, Los Del Rios or whatever the name was?
Peyton Hillis. Peyton Hillis was viewed at the time of maybe the sign of the Browns' renaissance. Hey, we got a good one here.
Mike Allstott 2.0.
He was also one of the first guys to leap over dudes. Remember when running backs just started jumping over people? He was one of the first ones to do that.
Right.
Yep.
He turned out to be, for, you know, the Yankees, we were back in the early 90s, we were looking at anybody as a savior. Anybody. Because we knew we had Don Mattingly. We just needed to have somebody else help Donnie Baseball out. That guy was Roberto Kelly for the Yankees.
I remember that, dude. Not Kevin Moss.
Well, Kevin, you want to talk about one-hit wonders. Kevin Moss, I forget what year it was. He had a September where he was mashing everything. Oh. Kevin Moss was a one-hit wonder for the Yankees. And I think Kevin Moss might have morphed into Shane Spencer in some way, shape, or form. Spencer.
1990, but Kevin Moss hit 21 home runs in 79 games.
Yeah. Ooh. And then
like Kaiser Soze.
Disappeared like Kaiser Soze.
He played the next year, decent, 23 dingers in a full season, and then disappeared after that.
Yankees looked at Brian Taylor. He was the left-handed guy who threw smoke.
Number one overall pick.
I know. And then
thought he was the next Gooden.
And then unbelievably, you know, Joe Torre gets hired, and everyone thought he was the biggest retread, and the rest is history. Now he's in the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum, and the Yankees have all those World Series titles. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. George Kittle's been ruled out.
Yeah.
He's not going. They're just not going to put anybody on the turf there in Giant Stadium. So Jimmy G has been ruled out, too. Big Nick Mullins is going to start at quarterback.
Big Nick starting.
So Garoppolo, Kittle, Mostert, Tevin Coleman, Bosa, Solomon Thomas, and Richard Sherman. All players from week one who aren't going to be starting in week three. And many of them not for the rest of the season. Two of them not for the rest of the season.
Stay tuned for sneaky good games.
Giants welcoming in the 49ers. The Jets, as we all know, went stride for stride with the 49ers B team in the second half, needing a late touchdown to pull out a second half tie. Let's see what the Giants minus Saquon do against this big Nick Mullins, Jerick McKinnon, Jordan Reed, essentially like what? The B team of the San Francisco 49ers.
Scrimmage team.
That's I say that with obviously respect. Jordan Reed is a guy who's played some significant minutes for the team currently known as the Washington Football Team. My gosh, the 49ers and the defending NFC champs bitten seriously by the injury bug early on, and everybody else in the division is 2-0. Everybody else. But, you know, unluckily for them, they played MetLife back-to-back weeks where they feel the turf is negligent. But lucky for them is they're playing the two worst teams maybe in the NFL. Jets are the worst team in the NFL, correct?
Correct.
Wouldn't you say? The Jets had two defenders this week, too, that their practice tempo was slow.
Stay tuned for sneaky good games.
Greg with 3G's Williams had an interesting comment that I read during the commercial break. He spoke today on his Zoom. The defensive coordinator of the New York Jets was upset with the opinion that, again, this is Avery Williamson of the Jets, also along with Bradley McDougal, saying that that the practice tempo was slow. So it's tough, I guess, for the speed of the game for them to adjust. Greg with 3G Williams, the DC of the Jets, said, we have only two tempos, walk through and go. We don't do 3/4. We don't do half speed. We don't do 2/8. We don't do quarters, which 2/8 technically is. By the way, I don't usually do fractions. We don't do 5/16ths. If it's not go, they stand by me or they become y'all's interns. That's how it is, end quote. Look out, Philly Riv.
We're going to hear from Joe Namath next hour.
Oh, yeah. Boy. My guy?
Yeah.
You're who I like to hug. And by the way, mm-hmm. he likes to hug me, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hugger?
He's a hugger.
He sings? He sang your birthday?
Sang your birthday, yeah.
He did. He did. Broadway Joe Namath, the news update. Aaron Rodgers is going to join us in hour number three, live from Wisconsin. There he is. He's looking happy in this photograph. This was probably taken 5 minutes ago. Oh, by the way, higher register, sneaky good games. Chris Brockman tells you who to pick. And, of course, my unluckiest lock of the week coming up.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.